Looking around for other board members who may or may not wish to chime in on this, Ms. Lessard.
Just to say, I concur that I think that the department did a good job with hearing what the concern were. A lot of the concern related to an emergency operation plan that could deal with, or at least provide some documentation that that in the case of a large die-off or an emergency or a shutdown unanticipated, that there would be ways to deal with the elements of this project, of this proposed project, that could have immediate negative impact in the community in which they're located. And so I think that the department did a good job in crafting some language that would provide for that eventuality to be addressed in such a way that everybody knows what that plan is. Not that Nordic didn't probably already have a plan or doesn't probably already have something in there, but this proposed condition makes that very transparent to the public and to the department.
Now, Mr. Draper.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it again, but I concur with both, you know, Mr. Deschain and Ms. Lessard, that I thought the department did a good job addressing the concern that I had anyhow had raised at the previous meeting, and putting it in the solid waste section makes perfect sense now that I think about it. But, you know, having some sort of financial assurance beyond what's already been referenced in terms of whether or not we even have the ability to do that is a practical matter, trying to figure out what that dollar figure would be, you know, would you know, in terms of what I understand, landfills, there's a definition of what you need to plan for. You need to plan for closure of the facility. Well, I'm not sure we have a way of doing that in this facility. And, you know, I think as a practical matter, you would really, really get hung up on trying to figure out what that dollar figure should be. And I think this is a good approach. I think it addresses the concerns that I would have should something go awry, and appreciate the staff's effort to put that in there.
Thank you for the feedback. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the board on that particular topic? And if not, any other questions for the staff on any part of this application? Ms. Lessard.
So Mr. Livesey has finished his, did he finish the list? Are we done with that? And now we're into questions on the overall.
I believe that's where we are, yes. Ms. Petracci?
I would note that there was Mr. Livesey's on page 69, and again, a condition on 96 to address some of the concerns about private wells. And so there's some additional language there that the board members might want to take a look at. If you look at page 69 of the packet.
For 69 of our board.
Yes, excuse me.
Draft order.
Yeah, 69 of the draft order.
We that was an instance where there was a bit of discussion about just ensuring the protection of private wells and sort of balancing the protection of private wells with not simply incentivizing replacement of them. I think there was a balancing there that we heard being discussed by board members. And so we've added some language in response to that, both, well, in two places, but it's just condition language that appears twice in the document.
I'm just taking a moment to reread that over again. Yeah, I think that lines up with what we were talking about. Ms. Lessard, you are unmuted and willing to continue?
I am. So overall, there are 38 proposed conditions on this draft, in this draft order. And I need to be clear that it makes sure that I understand the parameters of all those 38 conditions. It's my understanding that conditions that cite the need for review and approval of the department are conditions of compliance that bring with them the ability for public input and comment and appeal. Is that correct?
So we, if it says review and approval, you are correct that the is an application that gets filed with the department, and we review it, and an order is issued finding that the condition's satisfied, finding that the condition satisfied in part. Sometimes we might have a condition compliance application that's where now a permittee says, hey, we meet conditions 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we might say, well, you meet 1, 2, and 3, but not 4. Or we could, you know, deny the, find that they haven't satisfactorily addressed the condition. And certainly that can be appealed to the department. I think Ms. Benzinger commented previously that these condition compliance applications are sometimes subject to, well, the public always can comment on them. My understanding is that condition compliance applications aren't governed by Chapter 2 of our rules, sort of like a minor revision application. But I think it's, in talking with staff, it's fairly common practice on, I'll call it bigger ticket condition compliance applications, where there's been a contested proceeding that parties to that are given an opportunity to comment.
Ms. Benzinger, I think we should jump in too.
Yeah, and Mr. Livesey is right, and I think he's referring to the more ordinary types of applications. But if I might take a minute, we are, when you have a board proceeding and you've had a public hearing on an application, as the board has here, in Chapter 3, Section 30, your rule provides the following. Any licensee receiving approval following a hearing must provide notice to all parties of the filing of any departments, any documents with the department indicating A, actions to comply with conditions contained in the license that require department review and approval. So that that's addresses your question. So all parties have to get notice of condition compliance applications and filings. But also, just out of interest, any proposals to amend a license when such a proposal was not part of the original decision within 1 year of the decision or the project start date, whichever is later, and any proposals to amend a license within regarding an issue that was the subject of an appeal, if this is approved and there is an appeal, when the proposal is submitted within 3 years of the decision. There is a continuing transparency on a number of levels, and in particular for condition compliance.
Okay, that I'm not trying to monopolize here, but I want to be clear on what this proposal involves. And the reason I ask that is of the 38 items, 12 of them are identified with review and approval for the department, which means that an application is made, an order is issued, it's allowed, it's sent out for public review. What options exist for public input on that beyond just you can look at it? If these 12 items all have an application and they all have an order and they all are sent out to all of the parties, if it's not subject to Chapter 2, are you saying that they're not subject to any appeal provisions? What is the, you understand why I'm confused about
this? Yes.
Because they can appeal.
Yeah. They can, so appeal.
They can appeal to the board.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And they would be, since they get notice when it is filed, the parties do, they would be able to submit information. They would see what is filed and they would be able to submit information contesting what was filed.
But right. But theoretically, these 12 items could result in, from one side or another, 12 additional appeals.
Correct.
And probably fewer, only in that I would imagine some of these conditions would be satisfied at the same time. So there might be one appeal that captures four conditions.
Well, I asked because there are different times at which these conditions kick in. And so I don't know how they could all be filed at once because—
No, they wouldn't. No, but there's a lot of, you know, pre-construction or pre-operation of a phase, that sort of thing. So generally speaking, applicants or permittees, when they're satisfying those types of conditions, they do batch things together. And it's likely that could happen here.
One final thing, and then it won't be the final, but it's for now, that, and then others can weigh in, is that what process is in place were this permitted to monitor and address 38 separate conditions? In my experience with the department, I've never seen an application with this many conditions that weren't just, it can't be more than 4 feet tall or 5 feet wide, or, you know, something that's easily quantifiable, as opposed to a review and approval kind of issue. So that's my question. What is the department's capacity to manage a proposed approval with 38 different conditions on it, that some of them are substantial?
Right, and so there are actually two categories of things. There's the monitoring piece, which is sort of a boots on the ground component to compliance, and then there is the review and approval component, which may involve visiting a facility depending on the nature of the condition, but it's also it's more similar to the process we're going through now, which is review of a written submission, evaluation of whether it is doing, in this case, what's required of it based on the condition requirement, and then you know, documenting why it doesn't meet the standard. And so as far as, you know, capacity goes, I guess, you know, we would approach reviewing the condition compliance associated with this facility, like we do with reviewing condition compliance requirements for all the wind power or all the solar projects we're permitting and all the other permitting matters we have. And that is basically, we do the best we can with what we have. And so we'll continue to do that. I'm not going to tell you we wouldn't like to have more people to help us, but, you know, that's for, we'll discuss that with other folks.
We can't fix that.
Right. You know, and so we do, and it's a balancing, right? I mean, we get condition compliance applications from folks fairly routinely. And when we get those, they are priority. They're a high priority because it's often that those are, you know, a pre-construction or a pre-operation requirement, and folks are eager to construct and eager to operate, just like people are eager to get their permits too. So it's a balancing that we do daily, quite frankly, in terms of juggling workload and trying to be respectful of those who get in the queue first and are diligent, balancing that with urgency.
Thank you.
Both unmuted, Mr. Draper and Ms. Bensinger. Is there a